Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
If you're just joining us, 33 minutes left of this transfer window. Liverpool, you've got two new defenders. Ben Davis, up to $2 million. And Ozan Kabak has come in on loan with an option to buy at the end of the season. Arsenal fans, Shkodran Mustafi has gone to Schalke on a permanent deal. That's because I think Kabak has come into Liverpool from Schalke. Southampton have agreed to a deal in principle to acquire Liverpool's Takumi Minamino on loan until the end of the season. And Bournemouth, this is a really interesting one. It keeps flip-flopping. They've accepted bids for Josh King, by the way, from both Everton and Fulham. And we're hearing conflicting reports. Some reports are saying he's going to Everton. Some reports are saying he's going to Fulham. Where is Josh King? We don't know. We're waiting to find out his decision. Let's continue going through the Premier League. We'll move on to Crystal Palace. They've let a few players out, as you can see on the right, including releasing Max Meyer. Just didn't work out, did it? And Jean-Philippe Mateta, in from Mainz, has come in as a striker on loan. Robbie Earl, Crystal Palace. Yes. I was trying to think back to the last out-and-out striker of success at that club, and I think you're going back maybe 15 years. Ian Wright's a little far. We're talking early 90s. I think you're thinking Andy Johnson in sort of 2004-05. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're talking 15 years ago. They can't buy strikers.
There's been a lot of striking talent, inverted commas, that's been in the football club that's not delivered, Rebecca, and I don't particularly know why. Is Mateta the man? Is my line here. He's 6'4". He's got long old levers. He's going to cause problems. He's got an eye for goal. And I'm just thinking, with Wilf Zaha next to him, could actually be quite a nice combination. I think he was on the bench this weekend. Looks like he's going to start. You know, Benteke looks like he'll be there in Batshuayi. But you don't get a guy like this on loan who's got a decent goal-scoring record. I think he got 10 and 17 last season.
We've been 7.5 years. I've never heard long old levers.
Long old levers. 6'4". Mm. Yeah, I mean,
he's a Peter Crouch-esque character.
Mix of Crouch and Benteke, I would say. Powerful, tall.
That sounds like a lot of goals.
Well, Palace will hope so.
OK, it has been a problem for Crystal Palace down the years. Now, striking issues, not normally a problem for Wolverhampton Wanderers because of Raul Jimenez, but, of course, he's out with that head injury. They have brought in Willian Jose, who played at the weekend from Real Sociedad on loan. They've let a few players go as well. And since Raul Jimenez got that head injury against Arsenal, they've really struggled, as so many thought they would. They haven't won in eight. That's 5 defeats and 3 draws. Willian Jose, is he the one, Robbie Musto, that can help Wolves out of the pickle that they're in?
I think he can, yeah. Of course, you haven't seen that much of him right now, but we know he's got a good record in his previous club, a regular goal scorer. If you look at the way he plays, he's one of those strikers that's fired up. He's always in the thick of things in the centre. He's different to Pedro Neto and Daniel Parens. Those two, I really, really like those players, particularly Pedro Neto. So he can help them. It's just, I don't know, I kind of worry, bigger picture with Wolves, some of the transfers. The business they did was selling Diego Jota and Matt Doherty and Semedo and Fabio Silva. It's made them worse. Doherty was such a good wing-back. He's gone to Spurs. He's not getting played by Jose Mourinho right now. Same thing with Diego Jota, of course, a real talent. So, you know, there's been a lot of good recruitment there, Rob, but I just, you know.
Isn't it funny? Nuno talked about the stats of the new players were better than the ones going out, and he thought it made them better. But sometimes you've got to see things with your eyes, haven't you, and go with there. It's interesting with Jose. I saw the game against Palace at the weekend, Rebecca. What's the highlights? It's good in the air. If they can get some service into, a bit like Raul Jimenez, who they've missed, he can go and attack balls in the box, and that's something that they haven't had since Jimenez has been out.
It's been around the block.
Yeah, it looks like
knows,
a,
yeah. yeah.
Is the extreme from Fabio Silva, who absolutely hasn't been around the
block. No, and it's a big ask for Fabio Silva to fill those boots.
Been a quiet day, been a quiet window for Steve Bruce of Newcastle United. He's been focusing on just trying to get points on the board. He did get that really good win against Everton at the weekend. None in today, although he's been linked with Joe Willock and a couple out, including US men's national team player DeAndre Yedlin, who's gone to Galatasaray in Turkey on a free. As I say, trying to get good results. There is that Everton victory at the bottom of your screen, but their January in all competitions has been dismal. Just a whole string of defeats. And so, Robbie Earle, when we think about Newcastle United, and we have these conversations twice a year on these shows, it's the same old, same old. It's they're struggling. It's Mike Ashley does give some money.
He they does. Did buy Callum Wilson.
Yeah, they have bought Joe Ellington. They have bought Almiron. You know, he does give money. But they struggle. There is so much wrong with this football club. Where does it all stem from for you?
The ownership. It starts at the top and it works its way down, and that happens at every club.
Because he's disliked, or because he's not doing the right thing by the club, because he's putting money in.
He seems disinterested. He doesn't seem to me as though he's aligned to the football club. You look at the FSG group who go into Liverpool and you can see they're working together to bring the club together and they get to the end result, which is a title. You never get that sense that there's that togetherness at Newcastle United Football Club. And that stems with the problem. And until new ownership comes in, the fans are going to talk and we'll talk about, you know, the odd signings that come in. And the problem now for Steve Bruce is he's got 22 points. He's three worst teams below them, and they're probably going to stay in the league, so why spend any more money?
Well, Matt Ritchie looked like he might be on his way back to Bournemouth, but that's been kiboshed. And then also they're looking at being linked with Joe Willock out of Arsenal. That would be a decent signing if you could get Willock on loan.
Yeah, Joe Willock could be good. Hamza Choudhury was another player from Leicester City that Steve Bruce was asked about, and he wouldn't admit to that, but I think there's something in that. I mean, Joe Willock, yeah, he's going to make them a little bit better. It's just, you know, when you just go back to the owner, he wants to sell. He wants to sell. So where's the incentive for him to really restructure or get, you know, really organise his football club? And that's what the fans are frustrated with. You know, I think they will be. That's a massive victory. Everton away, a strong Everton team to go there and win 2-0. Callum Wilson, I mean, without him, they would go down this year. But he has been so good, so consistent. I think they're going to be OK. But the fans are livid with the football, the style and the way that Steve Bruce is doing it. They're not enjoying the team at all.
Well, they did play a different style, didn't they, against Everton? And Graham Jones has come in as the assistant. Yeah. And, of course, he got a lot of credit after that. How much can an assistant manager have an influence over the boss?
Big role, Rebecca. It's a big relationship in a football club. And then it's key. He's got to back his manager at the right times. He's got to be the guy sometimes to challenge his manager with things. He's got to be the guy sometimes. Like the Dele Alli situation. A good number two now will go to Dele Alli and put his arm around and go, Gaffer wants you back in, but you've got to do this. Sometimes that number two can be the good guy to the manager's bad guy,
Rob,
bad cop thing.
I think he's got even more responsibility. I got the sense that the manager said, have a look at us. Mm-hmm. Have a look. And we know that tactically they're different, the different setup, the pressing part of it.
Graham Jones.
Graham Jones has got more influence in how they play.
Just to say, there's about 23 minutes or so left of the transfer window. No more breaking news as yet. I'm sure we'll get some more. So stay June. Now, I think we've had a technical hiccup with our graphics machine. Oh no, it's just that Burnley have not spent any money and they've also not let anyone else go. And it's basically as you were, because Burnley, I mean, it's been, again, a classic Burnley season. They're just down in the bottom half. They're not really scoring many goals. 13 goals for the season.
They spent $1 million last summer on Dale Stevens over
Beckham. Doesn't really play.
Yeah. $1 million on Dale Stevens, Rebecca.
But this is Sean Dyche, and they have new ownership. And Alan Pace, who is the new owner of the club, has said that he would love to have strengthened. But for one reason or another, it wasn't because they didn't try. Yeah. But it's hard to strengthen in January, which we know. So what are we thinking about the future under Alan Pace, the American?
In Sean Dyche, we trust. So I think there's a feel that they won't go down. They've started to get a bit of a run together and look more like the Burnley. I think summer's when we'll start to look. And Alan Pace has said a lot of the right things and looks to be trying to develop the football club. But at some point, you've got to go better quality than what you've got. You've got to upgrade, I think, right winger, maybe another centre-forward, bit of creativity in midfield, hold on to Tarkowski. Those are all key elements to Burnley starting to grow and not fighting relegation every season.
Alan Pace talked about having Sean Dyche for life. He has a job for life. I mean, he is worth his weight in gold, is he not, for this club?
Absolutely is. And you know, that graphic is so funny because it's probably been similar graphic for other windows. He deals with the same squad. But back to the signings, I think he's looking for a specific character, a personality to be in that dressing room and to want to be there and to want to...
What kind of character is that?
Well, a good pro that's certainly not moving down in his career to go to Burnley. You've got to have somebody that's coming up for the most part. And he, I'm sure he's a hard taskmaster. You know, everything is simple, great attitude, great habits in training, and has done so well for him. Alan Pace, just back to the ownership, it's been a lot of talk, and he said he's going to back his manager, and he often over-delivers. And we understand that January is a difficult window. Okay, the summer, he'll want some additions. And that's when we'll see if Alan Pace and the new American owners are going to really start to steadily improve this team.
It's a bit similar to the Newcastle where the owners are not engaged. These owners seem to be, but now they've got to back the manager and then let's go to the next stage.
I feel like you were fitting well at Burnley under Sean Dyche. Good pro, good character, good habits on the training ground.
It'd be a stepping stone to a higher team.
Another Real Dale Madrid. Stevens.
You never get $1 million for Robbie Mustard. If you're just joining us, we're about 16 minutes away from the end of the January transfer window. Still time for deals to be done, and there are some up still in the air. Not these two, though. Liverpool have got two defenders in. Ben Davies for up to $2 million from Preston. Ozan Kabak has come in from Schalke on loan. I can tell you that Joel Matip is out for the rest of the season with ankle ligament damage. Takumi Minamino is on loan, we think, to Southampton from Liverpool. A deal has been agreed in principle, but not yet fully done. Josh King, he's either going to Everton or Fulham. We're hearing now it's more than likely he's going to Everton for a fee of around $7 million from Bournemouth. Again, not yet confirmed. And Ainsley Maitland-Niles has undergone a medical at West Brom ahead of a loan move from Arsenal. And my colleague at Sky Sports, Jim White, who is on air right now in the UK, has had a text message direct from the West Brom manager, Sam Allardyce, to say that the Ainsley Maitland-Niles deal is done. But, of course, we don't have official confirmation. So West Brom, second from bottom. Boy, do they need some points. Did they need some reinforcements this month? They got them. We'll talk about them in a second. We're also going to talk about Fulham, who are 2 points above them, but still 7 points away from safety. We're going to talk about Sheffield United, who are miles off the pace. And we're going to talk about Brighton and Hove Albion. They have themselves a cushion. They had that brilliant win against Tottenham. They've brought in the youngster Moises Caicedo for a $6 million fee, a midfielder from a club over in Ecuador. And they've managed to get five out the door, including Matt Ryan, who's gone to Arsenal, the goalkeeper, because Robert Sanchez, of course, now is the Brighton goalkeeper. So they've been a little bit busy. Through 21 Premier League matches over the course of the last four seasons, they're struggling the most right now. The previous three under Chris Hughton and Graham Potter, and now with Potter at the helm, 17th position right now, they are struggling, but they do have this huge gap between them and the relegation zone. So it's going to mean a big collapse, and it's going to mean a Fulham or a Sheffield United or a West Brom coming really good to really threaten Brighton. When you watch them against Tottenham at the weekend, it must have filled you with great faith.
Yeah, I don't see it, Rebecca. And Caicedo was interesting, so I watched a bit of tape on him, 19-year-old Ecuadorian kind of wonder kid. He's a perfect fit. And Graham Potter said in an interview today that he might not be ready yet and they're going to bed him in, but he's dynamic and go to box to box. They've got lots of technical players in the middle of the park. This guy can run. He can get ahead of the ball. And I go back to what Graham Potter said, I think it was in the summer window. If you don't have cash, you have to coach. And he's going to coach his players. They're not going to be able to bring the big players in. They've had a big loss this year in the football club. But when you see them play and the way they played against Tottenham, you've got every faith that this guy will get it right.
I totally agree. I'm just surprised they're as low down as they are. We know that they've drawn a load of games and that's, you know, it's obviously not quite been good enough to win those matches, but that's the way I think they'll go more than the losing part of it. I love the way they played against Tottenham and love the way they play in general. Full of technical players, recruitment mimics that, and it's a good story.
Fulham play good football as well, but they do find themselves very much in that bottom three. They haven't yet managed to bring anybody in. We know they're in for Josh King, but it looks like Josh King now is going to go to Everton. They've managed to get three players out, but arguably it's players in that they needed, because my goodness, they haven't won for quite some time. They're top of the charts in terms of longest current Premier League winless streak. No win in 10. Now, when you watch them play football, Robbie Musto, again, there's so much positivity. They play expansive. They play the football all over the pitch. But again, they're in the bottom three and they've got this big, big gap. It's such a worry for Scott Parker.
It is a big worry. Really difficult to see how they can come out of it. I know January's a difficult window. Can they find a goal scorer? Because that's what it looks like the issue. We've talked a lot about Alexander Mitrovic and his goals he scored in the Championship. He hasn't played a lot. Scott Parker's not trusted him as the main striker. Adam Müller-Luckman's been brilliant. Been creative, scored some goals. Scott Parker's sifted through his squad, and defensively, they are so much better. But it's the attacking part that they're still struggling
with. So they're after Josh King, who now looks like he's going to Everton. They have no time to find another striker.
You've got to go option two.
Why didn't they go earlier, though?
Well, you've got to have option two, Rebecca. A striker gives them a chance. They're 7 points behind Brighton, but a game in hand. So it could be down to, I think, 4 points. Gamble. Scotty Fulham, gamble. It took you so... You worked so hard to get up here. You had to go through the playoffs and all that. gamble on somebody that might just score you the goals, because Mitrovic hasn't worked. Cavallero's done a good job. Underneath that, they're a decent team. They play good football. A centre-forward gives you a chance.
What about his reputation as a manager, Scott Parker? Is it growing despite the fact they're in the bottom three?
Yeah. The way he's conducting himself, the way his team play, the way that the change from where they were at the beginning of the season, how they looked, to where they are now, Rebecca, has made people think that this guy could be a Premier League manager. And if they go down, I think he'll go with them and they'll look to come back again. But they've still got a chance. And I'm a little bit disappointed in Fulham. They haven't gambled to try and get one in or two in just to give them a chance.
He was pragmatic when he managed to change things around, and he said we saw improvement, because at the beginning they were dreadful, weren't
dreadful.
They?
Dreadful. Way off the pace, uncompetitive. And to get them to be competitive, he's done really, really well. It's just, how much do they gamble? You know, you say gamble. Fulham have done this before. Mm. And they spent a lot of money bringing a lot of players in. They still get relegated. And you're right. If he takes them down, they should stick with him, because it's a great chance to come back up again.
I'll mention him before I get a chance. Daniel Sturridge is still available. Oh.
Daniel Sturridge is without a club and still available. Robbie Earl did mention him a few weeks ago. I'll give that
I'm
to you
now. Agent.
It used to be Harry Redknapp that was the king of the Wheeler dealers. Now you've got to say it is Sam Allardyce. They've brought in four players to West Bromwich Albion, including Mbaijan, for a loan fee of $2 million, who set up a goal at the weekend. And today has come in Okai Yakuslu from Celta Vigo, and he's got four out, including Charlie Austin, who's gone to QPR. But in comes Sam Allardyce. We think, OK, he's a safe pair of hands. We're going to get a big new manager bump. But since he came in before Christmas, December the 16th, they've only picked up 5 points. Only Wolves have picked up fewer. So, Robbie Musto, Sam Allardyce's magic, his new manager bump magic, his I've never been relegated magic, is it going to end?
Yes. Yeah, it is going to end. And, you know, I get it that they go to him. They went quite early to him. And we know what he's done before. And he's always managed to get really important signings. When you look at West Brom's main issues, for me, at the moment, if he's going to play this pragmatic defensive style, is they can't do it. And he hasn't brought in there's a defensive midfield player that's one of those four players to come in. But other than that, it's going to be the same defenders for the most part to try and do it. Unless, I'd love to see him try the other side of it. This team is built more on attacking with Pereira and some of the players going forward. And Conor Gallagher, the midfield player, likes to get forward.
Dean Garn,
please go for it. Please go. I don't think he will. No. He'll go with the deep and counter-attacking. Mm. But I don't see them staying up unless they have a go a little bit more and get on that front foot.
Conceded 50 goals, Rebecca. 50 goals already, that's 21 games. The Sam Allardyce teams that stay up, I remember when we were at Palace and we went to see Sam, and all he said about, he worked on the back four, got some clean sheets, and then you can get wins from there. This team can't keep clean sheets.
I just want to go back to Fulham for a quick second, because we talked about the fact that they needed a goal scorer. Josh Madger, who is a player who featured actually in the Sunderland documentary on a little bit earlier on last year, is coming in from Bordeaux on loan with an option to buy. Prolific, he's never played in the Premier League before, but he's another body through the door in the striker role.
He's a young kid, I think, might have even been in their youth academy and then went to Sunderland, obviously over to Bordeaux. He's a body, Rebecca, and he's a gamble. He's a kind of gamble. At least they've had a go. And do you know what? What I saw of him, and when I look around the Luckmans and the Loftus-Cheeks and people, he kind of fits that group, and he might just bring them a little bit of life and a little bit more forward threat.
OK, it sounds like they've probably given up then on Josh King, and they've got Josh Madger, one Josh for another, as we think Josh King is on his way to Everton. He's got about 7.5 minutes to sign that contract. Let's talk about the absolute bottom of the table. Sheffield United not looking like they think they've got a hope at staying up. They haven't reinforced throughout this month. A couple have gone out, of course. And it's just been an incredible drop-off, hasn't it, from last year? Because last season, after 21 games, they got 7 wins, 29 points, and they were a point off the top six. Now, after 21 games, they've won just 2 matches. They've lost 17. Terrible goal difference. Got 8 points only, still in single figures. And they are 13 points off safety and not looking like they're going to be able to spend another season, Robbie Earl, in the Premier League. Are we giving them any hope at all? I've got to ask the question.
Yeah,
they needed loans, miracles, they needed signings, and they needed a miracle. They've got none of the first two. And then Ryan Brewster, who was the gamble at $13.5 million from Liverpool, hasn't worked.
It's not worked, but he's hardly played.
No, so that tells
you... He's had opportunities.
It hasn't worked, but that's your gamble. If you go and spend $30 million on a centre-forward, he's got to come with 8, 9, 10 goals. Ryan Brewster's yet to score.
I think the biggest thought process with me with Sheffield United, it's so difficult to explain this. Because even now, Rob, even when I watch them play, they don't look a bad side. Yet their record is horrific. It's an awful record. But they never get trounced.
No.
You know, often narrow defeats.
One nil.
Slightly that balance is slightly into losing.
Well, isn't that a goal scorer, Rob, then? That
well, they
difference.
Got five.
They've got five forwards. I don't think they've got a goal scorer. Billy Sharp's their best goal scorer, and he's the oldest one, and you have to manage his minutes.
But the theory of, you know what, we'll get four or five strikers, we can rotate them in, and one of them's probably going to hit some form. None of them have.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. And from last season to this season, it's got to be one of the hardest things for us or anybody, really, to explain
what's
why.
Yeah.
Why can they be so good? Eighth at this point last year and rock bottom this season. Really, really strange.
And Chris Wilder will obviously take them down. There's no sign that he's going to lose his job.
No,
he's a fan of the club. He did brilliantly. Brought them all the way up the divisions and into the Premier League. They'll go down and then he'll be the best one to bring them back.
And, you know, they are equipped and the right kind of personalities and players to get back up again. So, you know, it might not be the... The last thing they wanted to do is go down. But go down, keep most things intact and give yourself a chance of coming back.
With seconds to go in the transfer window, Liverpool have themselves two new defenders. Ben Davies from Preston North End has signed for $2 million. Ozan Kabak has also come in on loan from Schalke with an option to buy. And that, Liverpool fans, is good news because in the last hour, Jurgen Klopp has confirmed Joel Matip will be out for the rest of the season with ankle ligament damage. What a season for those Liverpool defenders. But they've got their reinforcements in. Now, reports are that a deal sheet has been submitted by Southampton for Liverpool's Takumi Minamino, which means that they have until 8 p.m. Eastern to submit the full paperwork. That's Southampton trying to get Minamino. And Josh King, Bournemouth have accepted bids from both Everton and Fulham, we are told, for his services, and it is now looking likely, it's being reported, he is going to go to Everton for a fee of around $7 million. Those are the headlines with just a few seconds to go. Robbie Earle, Robbie Musto alongside myself, Rebecca Lowe, and as we creep up to Big Ben, ticking off at 11 o'clock, we're going to go live to our colleague Jim White over the pond at Sky Sports and see the window close at Sky Sports HQ live.
Ozan Kabak and Ben Davies in at Liverpool. Young defenders. Why them? Because Joe Matip is out for the rest of the season. And we don't know about Van Dijk. We don't know about Joe Gomez. Ainsley Maitland-Niles, one of five in at West Brom. It was busy, busy, busy. But it always is on transfer deadline day. So, you were on the M3 and you missed a turn off for the M4. Now, you don't have a sat-nav.
I do have a sat-nav.
Now, is there any truth in the rumour that you called Peter Storey?
Yes.
And you said, Peter, I know you're at home watching Sky Sports News transfer deadline night. Help me out here. I'm lost.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he got it on his computer and told me the way to get out of the situation I was in because the road was closed, the M3.
Right.
And, he guided me here.
But no, I'm hearing about the trip. We'll get back to the transfers in a second. What intrigues me is why did you phone Peter Storey and not Sandra? Surely she would be the first call.
No, she wouldn't. No, she's at home. She wouldn't have a clue how to get to here. Not a chance. But I couldn't work the sat-nav.
Oh, nor can I. So I'm telling this against myself. Harry, it is terrific to have had you here tonight because we've witnessed a lot of late business. I have to say, I'm gobsmacked at what Sam Allardyce has achieved at West Brom there in terms of new bodies over the line. One of five. Ainsley Maitland-Niles, one of five over the line.
Good signing, yeah. As I say, the teams around them, you know, they're going to be looking at that. The teams just above them, even, you know, Fulham have done a little bit of business, and Fulham have looked a lot better lately. I've been pleased in how Scotty Parker's been doing with them. But there'll be one or two teams that may be 5, 6, 7, 8 points clear of West Brom at the moment, knowing that the gap can be closed. And Sam's going to give it a real go to try to close that gap. He's not going to go down without a fight.
And good on him. I love him for that. Let's head back, Harry, to the North East and Keith Downey. He brought this story a short time ago.
So, transfer deadline day deals then. West Brom and Sam Allardyce, as Harry Redknapp was just referring to, have brought in five new players, including Ainsley, Maitland-Niles on loan from Arsenal. Liverpool have got their two men in. Joel Matip out for the rest of the season with those ankle ligament damage. Bournemouth have accepted the bids for Josh King from Everton and Fulham. We're waiting to find out whether or not King to Everton has happened. And a deal sheet has gone in from Southampton to Liverpool for Takumi Minamino. So those are the headlines. Now, I talked about a deal sheet. If a club has agreed a deal late on in the window, like it sounds like Minamino has done from Liverpool to Southampton, they could submit what's called a deal sheet to the Premier League to buy them more time to submit the necessary paperwork. The deal sheet needed to arrive fully completed before the transfer window closes next season. This is what one looks like. And then if they do get that deal sheet in to the Premier League, that club then has until 8 p.m, so two more hours, to submit the full paperwork. So fingers crossed for Southampton fans that Minamino's paperwork can be done before 8 p.m. Eastern. Now, you heard Jim White there. They were just going up to the northeast, up to Newcastle United, because Joe Willock has signed on loan from Arsenal to Newcastle United. Newcastle haven't signed anybody else this month. We talked about it a few moments ago. What's your reaction to that signing?
Really good for Newcastle United. The more you think about it, I mean, he's played quite a few minutes this season. You know, it's a big call, Rob, because if he stays where he is going to get some minutes for Arsenal. But I guess he feels that he wants more than that and play it week in, week out, which I absolutely respect as a younger player. But he's done pretty well for Arsenal. So a little surprised that Joe Willock is one of the players that Mikel Arteta is allowed to leave in this window.
Obviously, want him to get some football. What sort of interests me, Rebecca, and it's going to be interesting to watch it as it goes on, is Joe Willock needs a football. He needs the ball to go and play and join things in, and he's a real great link between the midfield and that. If Newcastle are just going to play sitting back and no possession, Joe Willock's going to be no value to us. So if you're getting in players like Joe Willock, you've got to make sure you can get him on the ball and get the best out of him.
I just want to ask you a question, Robbie, because at the best of times, it's not always easy in the transfer window for players. They have to move cities, they have to move homes, and some of them, like Joe Willock, like Ainsley Maitland-Niles, are finding out tonight they've got to go up north, they've got to find somewhere to live. In the era of COVID as well, when these players arrive at their new clubs, they're going to be in a hotel.
Correct.
And they're going to not be allowed out because the UK is in lockdown. It's been in lockdown since early January. It's going to be in lockdown at least until mid-March. You're not allowed out for more than once a day unless you're going to training.
No family possible.
No family allowed with you. You're not allowed to go anywhere. How much harder is this going to be for those players?
It's a challenge. And so for Willock, who's probably a southern lad who's you know, family and all his friends are down there, to say, you know what, I'm going to go there and play, tells me that he's got drive. He wants to prove himself. He wants to be a Premier League footballer. And it's a good sign that young players prepare to do that and go through whatever he has to do to make sure he's getting some regular football.
I often get asked around the transfer window, how much is it up to the player? So if Joe Willock didn't want to leave Arsenal on loan, could he have stayed?
Yeah.
So you have to agree to wherever you go, no matter if it's just a loan.
Oh, yeah, the two clubs have got to agree the deal and then the player's got to agree to go as well. Yeah, so obviously he's a big part of this and said, you know what, OK, I want to go and play football. I guess when you think about it, Smith-Rowe's...
Yeah, Odegaard.
And Odegaard, you know, in that number 10 role, he's probably not going to play too much. But still, a brave move and a good move. Good for Newcastle United as well.
And another brave move, Ainsley, Maitland-Niles of West Bromwich Albion, because lots of players don't want relegations on their CV, like managers don't, of course. And there's a very big chance that Ainsley, Maitland-Niles won't be able to do with the other four players that Sam Allardyce has brought in, but will be able to keep West Brom up. And that will be tough for him if he gets relegated and then, of course, goes back to Arsenal. But that's still tough.
It is tough. Again, a player that I don't know, Robbie, you know, the expectation level at Ainsley Niles for a long time is that he's going to be a real important player for Arsenal, but never really played where he wanted to play. Again, fair play to go there and try and fight to stay up. The only thing with it, Rob, we've talked about this before, is with lone players at teams that are struggling.
Yeah.
Are they really all in? Are they really all in to fight to try and maintain the status? Because they know, I'm only here on loan, I can go back to my parent club and it's not that
the benefit for West Bromwich Albion is Maitland-Niles is trying to get into the England squad for the summer. So he's got to be playing at a reasonable level. And sometimes when you're in those situations, you have to say, I'm going to keep my standards here regardless of what else is going around me. And I'm sure that's what Gareth Southgate will be keeping an eye on over the next few months.
Let's talk about the champions. No Matip for the rest of the season out with the ankle ligament damage. No Fabinho at the moment. He might be fit for the Man City game next Sunday.
Yeah.
No Joe Gomez long term. No Virgil van Dijk long term. If they win the league, is it better than last season?
Yes, it is better. With what they've gone through, these two signings are going to be really interesting. Davies and Kabak. Davies, 25-year-old from Preston. Kabak coming in from Schalke, 20-year-old. Are they going to play? Are they going to make the difference? Can they fill the gap? Can Liverpool go back-to-back with these two young defenders playing a part? Because that's what it might need, Rebecca. That's why they've been bought. That's why this business has been done today, to get them to a period to when some of the more established defenders are back in the side. It's a big challenge, but we'll find out if these players are good enough.
It could be spectacular recruitment.
Yeah.
If one of these, just one of them, they're going to look at two young centre-backs for the future for very small money. If just one of them looked the part...
Does half
and
as well.
Develop,
as,
yeah, and then that could push Henderson back in the midfield, Fabinho back in the midfield, that strengthens that area as well. If one of these two can be a regular partner for somebody who can get fit in that department for Liverpool. So they had to do it, absolutely had to do it. And that was one of the things that we came in here and we're like, wow, are Liverpool going to do it? Because they have a real, real issue at centre-back. When you've got midfield players going back there and young centre-backs that, to be fair, look like it's a little bit too much for them. So we'll have to wait and see. The younger one, the 20-year-old Turkish defender, could do surprisingly well.
And Ozan Kabak is coming in on loan with an option to buy.
So it's almost a look like at him as well.
It's an audition. It's an audition. I just want to look ahead just quickly to that Liverpool-Man City game next weekend, because now that Liverpool are on a little bit of a roll, they've got their groove back, they've got a couple of players so they can breathe at the back, perhaps.
Yeah.
They've got Brighton, of course, on Wednesday. But that game... How big, if Liverpool can win that game, my goodness, are they right back in this?
Yeah, they change the narrative. They change all the talk around Liverpool that, it was going to be too much, that the defenders... It's a huge game for both teams. And Pep Guardiola's side will know they've been in better form, keeping more clean sheets without a striker. That's one not to miss. I just think at the moment, City have slightly got the edge for me.
Not for me. I think with Liverpool finding their form and Mo Salah in incredible form right now, Firmino had the rest, Rob, got the benefit of that. Sadio Mane, I'm not sure how bad his injury is. Trent's playing better again. I tell you what, we're going to learn more about City.
Yeah.
We're going to learn more about Man City
and
how much they want it and how much they're willing to fight Liverpool in every area to try and come out on top, to stay at the top of the division. It's going to be a fascinating game.
Well, I don't want to tempt fate. We have bigged up quite a lot of these games recently between the big six, and they've let us down. But I don't get the feeling, do you, that there's going to be a goalless draw in this one?
No. Liverpool forwards firing again, even without City's line. These goals from midfield and all over the park.
Okay.
Guaranteed goals. That's what we do. No.
Guaranteed goals for Robbie Earl. That means a goalless draw. Right, time for some mid-season predictions. Relegation. Let's have a look at the odds from PointsBet, shall we? No surprise, current bottom three, Sheffield United, West Brom and Fulham, are the three favourites to go down. They're followed by Newcastle, who are at plus 250, then Burnley. And after their win over Spurs yesterday, Brighton are at plus 600, meaning a $10 bet would win $60. So, for our mid-season predictions, I think both of you have just really gone very mainstream. You're not taking any risks. Robbie Earl going first. Who are you going for relegation?
It's got to be the bottom three, Rick. Unfortunately, Sheffield United, West Bromwich Albion and Fulham. The gap's too big. Just can't see that amount of games being turned over and the other teams are picking up enough results that the gap's going to stay.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the ones ahead are good and they're going to stay. Newcastle United were the ones that, wow, they could go all the way down here. But that last result, I still think they got, I think that's six wins now. I think they're going to be OK and the bottom three will go.
So Sam Allardyce will get relegation on the CV for the first time and will do what, do you think?
Well, it will test, you know, any other club wanting to take him in the future, I guess. I mean, but this is a harder job, I think. A promoted team that's not proven to be the Premier League ready. It's a hard ask. But listen, there's five new players and he's...
17
he's
games to go.
Many
we'll
times
sail
before.
Off on the sunset.
Yeah, maybe.
OK, we shall see. What about the odds to finish in the top four, gentlemen? PointsBet have Man City, Liverpool, Man United and Leicester as the favourites to finish in those Champions League places. Then, interestingly, Chelsea have the next best odds, followed by Tottenham, who are at plus 190. So, Robbie Musto first for the top four. Talk me through the top four Champions League places.
Took a while to decide my last one here. Top four we're talking about now. So, City, Man United and Liverpool... I think most people have
in no particular order.
No particular order. I just like Chelsea. And I know right now, I think they're 6 points behind...
7 points, I think.
Is it behind? No, behind Leicester. Yeah, they've got to catch Leicester.
33.
It was Leicester.
They're 6 points behind Leicester.
Yeah, Leicester or Chelsea it was for me. And I like And I know that's recent. I like what he's doing. I think they're going to get better and more grooved. I think there's plenty of games to go. I'm going Chelsea for the final spot.
Ooh, Robbie L.
So I've gone the two Manchesters and Liverpool, no particular order. And my fourth spot, In Brendan, I trust.
Oh.
I'm going to go Leicester City, and I know Jamie Vardy, I think he's had the earnings coming back. I just think that it might be a bit stop-start for Chelsea, and I think it might take a little while, and I just think that Brendan Rodgers might just be able to keep his team in there.
So that this season they won't do the drop-off
that we saw last season. Finish fifth, didn't they, last time round?
OK, let's talk title then, gentlemen. You've given us your top four. The odds, PointsBet have Man City as the clear favourites. Pep Guardiola's men are at minus 400, meaning you'd have to bet $40 to win $10. And then come Liverpool, Man United, Leicester, then Chelsea and Spurs in that order. Robbie Earle, who are you going for the title?
I've had to flip-flop, and I don't see it being as big a odds as that, but I'm going for Manchester City to do it. I just think that two things have got to happen. That Manchester City form got to drop off and they're going to concede a lot of goals. And Liverpool have got to sort of get a little bit better and maintain it. I just don't see the two things quite happening. I think City will just find a way in the end.
Do you feel the same?
No, I'm going to stick with my original pre-season prediction and Liverpool. I think Liverpool. And I respect the odds and I understand that. And, of course, Rob's gone for City. I just can't look past those front players and a manager that's so driven. I know about the injuries. For City, Aguero. Are those midfield players going to continue to score? Are they going to win games based on the goals they scored? Defensively, brilliant. No question. I just think they might come up short and draw a few more games. And the Champions League focus, Rob, might come in February, March, April, in the latter stages. Could that stretch them a little bit? I just think Liverpool will still do it.
Well, I'm sticking with my pre-season
what
prediction.
What was that, Chelsea?
Chelsea. Massive joke. OK, let's just get you right up to date, shall we, with those deadline day deals. Joe Willock has joined Newcastle on loan from Arsenal. What else has been happening then around the place? Ainsley Maitland-Niles on loan from Arsenal. Also, he's gone to West Bromwich Albion. So Arsenal very much clearing the decks. We still haven't heard where Josh King is ending up. We think it's a $7 million deal at Everton from Bournemouth. And Southampton have put in this deal sheet to get Takumi Minamino on loan from Liverpool. And also just into us, just a small one, Jan Valeri, Southampton's Jan Valeri, really good on his day, has gone to Birmingham City on loan. So Kavisolikol, Darmesh Sheth and Brian Swanson, who have been at it all day for Sky Sports over in the United Kingdom, have also been fantastic contributors to our show here throughout the evening on NBCSN. Gentlemen, some final thoughts from you guys, please.
Yeah, Rebecca, welcome here. That is, the window has closed here at Sky Studios in London. But as we know, it's not quite over until the paperwork is complete. We understand this evening that at least two deals are subject to that deal sheet. Darmesh Sheth and Kavisolikol are going to bring the very latest on this. Darmesh, your source called it live on NBC earlier tonight. Josh King has indeed gone to Everton. We're just waiting for that to be signed, sealed and delivered.
Yep, I will be trusting and using that source again because Josh King has chosen Everton. He's going to sign a short-term deal until the end of the season. This was one of the deal sheets, we are told. So Everton between 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock this evening. Where are we now? We're about 20 past 11 UK time. So between 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock this evening, they put in a deal sheet that had to contain the player signature and signatures from both clubs as well as the full payments. Once that goes in, they have until 1 o'clock in the morning to sort out that deal. All of that paperwork is now with the FA. It is being sorted out now. It is all being finalised. Josh King will become an Everton player, and it's a short-term deal until the end of the season. He had a contract, of course, with Bournemouth until the summer, but now he is joining Everton.
So that's about 1 hour and 40 minutes left to complete. And Kavi Minamino?
Yes, Takumi Minamino is joining Southampton on loan. Now, talks about this potential move only started this morning. Negotiations move very quickly. He's had his medical, but he will not be able to play for Southampton against Manchester United tomorrow night. The deal was not done in time. Interesting, of course, because Liverpool signed him just 12 months ago from Red Bull Salzburg for about £7 million. I think they paid his release clause, but he hasn't been playing regularly enough. I think he wanted to play more, and Southampton were looking for another forward. That is why he has moved there. Just one final point to make about Josh King as well. Shows just how much the transfer market has changed. 12 months ago, he almost joined Manchester United for £25 million. Bournemouth turned down that offer. In the summer, They turned down £13 million for him from West Ham United. And now, because he's only got 6 months left on his contract, he's leaving for very, very little. Shows you just how much has changed in the transfer market because of the coronavirus pandemic.
And the big deals today involving Liverpool. I just wonder how Liverpool fans are feeling at the moment, because the whole window they've been begging to bring in central defenders. And the whole day we've been talking about Ben Davies and Kabak joining from Schalke and from Preston. And they've got those deals done. But since then, they're announcing the fact that Minamino could be going to Southampton. I'm not sure what Liverpool fans would think of that. But also, the central defenders that have come in, it's all been overshadowed a little bit now because Joel Matip is missing the rest of the season with that ankle ligament damage. So they're three frontline first-choice defenders, Virgil van Dijk, Joe Gomez, Joel Matip, likely to be out for the remainder of the season.
So just to wrap things up here, the confirmation that we're hearing from various different parties, at least two deals. We're just waiting for them to be formally approved through the paperwork, through the Premier League in particular. We have seen the vast majority of loans being done throughout this winter window, Rebecca. It has been a window like no other. We are living through a global pandemic. We are also here in the UK living through life after Brexit, and lots of deals involving overseas players have been hampered by a lot of different bureaucratic processes that have to be done. But it's not been a bad window, and we've had a fairly busy deadline day.
Brilliant stuff, brilliant insight as ever from Brian Swanson, Kaveh Solikull and Dharmesh Sheth over there in the UK in West London. And they're right as well. It's been a quiet window. And the Josh King thing is fascinating. £25 million pounds last year that Bournemouth said no to Manchester United. And we think he's going for $7 million. That's about £5 million up to Everton. That's one we think of the two deals yet to be confirmed, the other one being the Minamino. But Josh King to Everton on a short-term deal to the end of the season. What do you make of that little twist?
I think that's the reason why Fulham was still in the race, and maybe it was a longer deal with a better opportunity. But it's what he's had to take, and it's where football is at the moment. And, you know, the bigger picture today, because Liverpool, desperate for a centre-back, I think they knew the Joel Matip thing, and that's why they went to work. They've got, was it £5 million worth of one loan and one buy? Because there was $50 million deals in this time and not going to happen. Manchester United maybe would have liked to have gone and done something. They can't spend the big money. Even the very big clubs with the great resources that they can have had to kind of temper it down.
It's interesting, Robbie, because over the years we have talked, I think I've probably talked about this on television for almost 20 years, that the bubble in Premier League football and in English football at some point was going to burst. And it never looked like it was going to happen year on year. Has it maybe just been punctured a little bit by an outside situation being COVID?
It's a roadblock, isn't it? And the situation in the world absolutely makes sense. Revenues are down. The stadiums have been empty. I get the worry from some of the owners of where this is going to end up. But I'm still surprised that a United or maybe not so much Chelsea, but it's kind of an open Premier League. There's teams that are close to it, and the one or more of them didn't just go and spend a little bit more money in this window to try and do it. And that's one of my headlines. Also, the struggling teams, Rob. I don't think they've done enough to avoid
getting
even relegation. West Brom?
Yeah, I don't think they have. I mean, it's very difficult. Of course, it's very difficult.
It almost feels to me like if I was an owner, not sure we're going to do it, let's not spend so much. I think it seems more that mentality than let's have a go and I might stay in there. The other interesting one for me today is we talked a lot about what's come in. I think it's been a big window for Arsenal.
Yeah.
What's gone out? And what effect does that have on the football club? It feels like a new start now for Arsenal. It's all the players who are going in the same direction with the manager. I think there's a lot to look forward to in the second half.
Another
of the season.
Something else could be a new start. Dele Alli didn't go to PSG. Big call from Mourinho. Start playing him. Yeah. Start playing him. Got to play him.
That does it for this edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast. Be sure to check out other episodes where you'll get a collection of our most spirited in-studio debates, as well as exclusive on-site access. Plus, don't miss out on Premier League mornings, weekends at 7 a.m. Eastern on NBCSN and Peacock Premium. Bye for now.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade, New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker, London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.